We missed talking to you last week, and in the interim, you did an interview on Texas Tribune, and
I did.
Sat in the hot seat a little bit. So
I did.
I'd like to talk a little bit about that, because I know one of the things that was a big discussion is funding for transportation. There's some options out there, but basically, how do you think that should be handled?
Well, the Senate laid out a plan that is a pay-as-you-go plan. We took $2.9 billion from the rainy day fund to address the critical infrastructure needs in reference to transportation. That saves us over 30 years. Instead of issuing bonds, it saves us about $3 billion in interest payments. So I think that's an appropriate use of rainy day fund, economic stabilization fund, in reference to addressing some of the critical transportation needs. That package also included $2 billion to fund the water infrastructure needs, and then also $800 million more for education.
Have we basically, I mean, I know the governor really wants things out of the rainy day fund to be a one-time type of deal. Is this usually for catastrophes of some kind? This isn't a catastrophe, it's a crisis, but how do you feel the governor's mansion is going to respond to something like that?
Well, I'm not for sure how Governor Perry will respond. What I can tell you is that the Senate unanimously voted out that bill. It has the support of the Lieutenant Governor as well as the Comptroller. I think it's, we came down here to govern, to address the priorities of the state, and two of the critical priorities are water, roads, and education, and that's what that Senate joint resolution did.
State Senator Charles Schwertner joining us this morning. I believe it was Royce West who introduced it, and I don't, if you can help me understand, the idea of doing away with a registration sticker, and we're going to combine that. Does that mean that we won't be doing inspections on vehicles anymore, and are we going to lose revenue out of that plan that the senator is putting
forward? No, there'll still be inspections. They'll be tied into stickerless, and they'll be tied electronically to the VIN number. And then when you go get your car registered, they will verify that you've had an inspection, and you'll get just one sticker.
Okay. Reason I ask that is because obviously that money goes toward highways. Now, also, there was some discussion of vehicle sales tax increases. You don't like this idea?
I don't like tax increases. No, mm-hmm. I'd rather be going the other way. So I haven't heard that discussion. It hasn't been something that's been strongly discussed on the Senate side, at least.
The baseline number, $315 billion needed in transportation. I think TxDOT came up with that number. You're a little suspicious of that?
I am. I think that doesn't really do a good job of prioritizing the critical transportation infrastructure projects that need to be funded. Part of that, I believe, has some kind of wish list funding. We certainly do need to devote more attention and more funding to transportation over the next number of years. Texas is a very fast-growing state, and really because of our economic success. People are moving here from other states and from out of the country because of the vitality that we have in our economy. So I realize that that transportation is a critical need, but water, in my opinion, is even a larger critical need.
The Senate on Monday passed some new curriculum requirements this was House Bill 5, that the Senate version of that, that would drop the number of tests that students would have to take. Your thoughts there?
Well, that's a very important piece of legislation. That is a kind of a wholesale reform of the Texas public education system. I've heard from literally thousands of parents and educators and students about the high-stakes testing and the lack of flexibility in the curriculum. And that bill addresses those issues. It passed off the Senate floor unanimously as well, and I'm very pleased with the direction that we're heading in reference to dropping the number of tests from 15 to 5 and expanding flexibility and opportunity for students to succeed.
Next comes Medicaid expansion, raising its head once again. It voted out of committee successfully to at least look at that, and I was noticing that
Not on the Senate side,
no,
on the House side.
On the House side, right, yeah. On the House side.
Now, Medicaid expansion, one important aspect of Medicaid expansion that's come out recently, there's a study in Oregon that looked at Medicaid expansion, two different cohorts, a group that received Medicaid expansion and a group that did not. They only had enough money to fund one group or one amount of population. And at the two-year time frame, it didn't show increased health in reference to diabetes and cholesterol and hypertension. So that kind of makes you take a step back and think, what are we doing? Are we actually getting a bang for our buck here in reference to expanding Medicaid? So the discussion continues in reference to the best way to take care of our uninsured and those that truly need our help, but is expanding Medicaid to a population that is single, childless, able-bodied, the right thing for the state of Texas long term.
Now, or is there a private market plan? I mean, obviously, this is a polarizing issue. There's no doubt about this.
That's right. There is a plan in reference similar to the Arkansas plan of expanding to take care of our uninsured through private marketplace. That's an option. But I, again, want to look in a broader perspective. Should Texas, long-term, expand a program to a population that is, again, childless and single and able-bodied? What does that do to the individual, their individual initiative and industry? Is it going to tie our hands financially, long-term, when our federal government, which is broke, steps back from their promises to the state of Texas and to all states?
A couple of interesting things. You've mentioned them already this morning. A couple of unanimous votes. Of course, one was the joint resolution.
Right.
The other had to do with reducing the number of tests. These are unanimous. There's some folks who have different political ideologies over in the Senate. Are we going to see them come back late in the session and say, hey, we voted for your, this is what we need in return?
Well, we have 19 days left in the session. It always it's kind of a gets a little bit more dicey down here the last month. But we're not like Washington, D.C. We're not as dysfunctional. We certainly understand the pressing needs of the state, and I think there is some common ground in reference to the path forward, at least on the Senate side, about our priorities and our responsibilities of taking care of Texas and now as well as for the future.
Well, I hope we can feel comfortable with it, but it's certainly unusual to see the unanimous votes
coming
out.
It is, compared to 2 years ago. Yeah. It's a completely different world down here.
What else happens between now and when we talk again next week?
Well, we have the conference still in reference to the budget. It has not been fully hammered out. Right now it's in what they call a conference committee, and that the budget will eventually get back to the floor to be voted on. We have still issues in reference to the TRS and ERS. It's a process and one that's kind of designed to kill bills and limit our government. And hopefully by the end of it, I can report that we have a budget and we've addressed some of the priorities of Texas in reference to water and education and transportation. There's always the potential for a special session. There is some issues in reference to redistricting that are standing out there and tax cuts. So that's up to the governor. But I hope we get our job done by May 27th.
Well, geographically, it doesn't impact you as much. You're fairly close to the
cap. I'm ready to go anytime.
All right.